And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, this is Taylor. We have a bonus episode of sorts for you this week. My friend Elliot Barr of the Can I Kick It podcast sat down with his buddy Grego from For the Culture to break down the joint anti-discrimination policy by MLS, MLSPA, and Black Players for Change. They take a look into how the policy came into effect, why it's needed, and why other leagues should follow suit. Can I Kick It is a podcast built on telling the stories of Black athletes, coaches, and owners that have impacted the game of soccer on and off the pitch. You should definitely check it out. We love us some Can I Kick It. We love us some Elliot Barr. Hopefully, you love this episode. Oh, and I should add, there is a little bit of spicy language throughout. I was considering editing it, but number one, it's not my episode. And number two, it happens every now and then, so it felt like it was easier to have this disclaimer up front, but did just want to give you that little bit of notice. So, you know, earmuffs if you need to.
Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of Can I Kick It FC. We're bringing you some exciting news, some stuff. Actually, seems like there is some development in the soccer ever-evolving battle of racism. For those of you that are new to Can I Kick It FC, I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr. We like to call ourselves the Black Soccer 30 for 30, where we dive into everything history around the beautiful game of soccer, blackness around the soccer. From Pele to Thierry Henry to Beautiful Moments to AFCON to all things in between. And joining me on the show is my best friend, well, one of my best friends, the ball-headed thunder from Down Under, Mr. Grego. How are you, sir?
What's happening, man? How you feeling, man?
I think that's the first time everyone's probably referred to you as the ball-headed thunder.
Only in these circles, yes.
There you go. How are you, man? How's everything been?
Oh, man, it's been a crazy few months. FTC's been, I don't want to say on hiatus, but just kind of cooking in the background for the past few months. As you can see, I'm in new surroundings. I've moved back into the city of Atlanta. I'm actually walking distance from the King Center, Ebenezer Baptist Church, and Slutty Vegan. So, like, yeah, all that's... like right outside my window. And it's good to be back into the city. It's good to be back up on here. Can I Kick It? And hopefully one of these days I'll be back up in Richmond, because I don't think I've been up. Actually, no, I was up there for Thanksgiving, well, the week of Thanksgiving. And so we'll be back up in there getting our henny on real soon.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, we got to, man. Last time you came up, we didn't get a chance to link up because, you know,
I'll
be too busy, man. But yeah, man, you know, definitely it's good to have you on. The reason why this whole show came about is because you and our chat dropped the link into the MLS Players Association and Black Players for Change. They all collectively work together to put together an anti-discrimination act, pretty much. So can you just describe what that is before we kind of dive into it for the listeners?
MLS and Black Players for Change, the Black Awareness Group with MLS came together. They've been working on this, I guess, since last year, after a few incidents that took place. Setting up a policy to where, like, any type of on-field incidents, and I'm assuming off-field incidents as well, where, you know, a racism incident takes place, there's a disciplinary setup in place to where if you if this situation happens, this is what happens. And if you want to get out of this situation, this is what happens as well. So like pretty much a nice setup to where, like I said, if the racism counter does get hit, this is what MLS is going to do. I think like in the past, things have been treated kind of in the same vein. It's just like if you got a red card for a tackle, it'd be the same shit. I'm like, and then but you can't really do it like that because obviously you're talking about people's cultures, people's mm-hmm. races and all that stuff. And like for what it's worth, like MLS is probably one of the more diverse leagues in the world. So it's like, it's not just a situation where it's more than just saying the N-word. It's more than just saying, you know, monkey or whatever. Like it's a lot of stuff that goes beyond it because depending on where you're from, a lot of things can have different meanings. So it's important to stay aware of what may be considered offensive and what, you know, it might be just in the heat of battle and you do something that you weren't supposed to be doing and then go about how exactly do we rectify this, because they also address that as well, because they may be able to go ahead and go about rectifying it without causing a suspension too. So it's a very unique and comprehensive policy that they set up.
Yeah, no, for certain. And I mean, there's a lot of instances at MLS. I shouldn't say a lot, but there have been a few instances. Yeah. I think the most noticeable one is the Van Zier situation, New York Red Bulls, the guy with DC United who'd been found twice to do a racism, which is like, and I remember me and Taylor Rockwell, who does Total Soccer Show, also Soccer 101, we were on this podcast talking about how did certain leagues across the world deal with racism, and we kind of came to the prevailing notion of you really don't have anyone of our color or minority influence in those circles. It's always coming like from top down. It's like, hey, this is how we're going to deal with it or not deal with it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nice for a change to see that not only was an organization such as the Black Players for Change and MLSPA given a platform to do some real change, it's meaningful change. And me personally, I really like the fact that not only is an anti-discrimination act, but there is plans of restorative justice because, you know, a lot of the times people who want to play the whataboutism card, which annoys the hell out of me, but they always like to throw in, they always throw in that part of, well, he apologized, you know, isn't that enough? He said he's sorry, you know, like, what more do you want from him? And it's like, well, I want him to learn his lesson. I want him to know why he did is wrong. You know, I'm not saying ban the guy from ever playing soccer again, but I just want that person to learn why they did what's wrong, because you can learn from the action and come back from it 10 times better.
People always want to see consequences for certain actions. And I feel like while that might be valid, I feel like there's also an opportunity to where, one, you're being educated as far as why this is fucked up in the first place and why that there's such an uproar. Because, like, you could take Miss Horan from the women's national team, and just she's like, it wasn't anything racist. It's just the fact that like how you're talking about people can be taken in a way where it's like you do realize why this is fucked up, right? You do realize that you're basically insulting your fan base, right? And like even if there might be some truth to it, it's still a case of where you're generalizing a niche of your fan base to make them feel like, well, we don't. You just talk about it like we don't know shit, and I'm like, and you're not being specific as far as who. And I think that in this case, again, like you need to know, like especially like again, considering how diverse MLS is, like what might be somewhat offensive to a Black American might be even more offensive to a Black Ghanaian or a Black person from Ivory Coast, and like, or a Black person from Jamaica or a Black person from Brazil. Like, you have to know like who you're dealing with and understand like, okay, I might not trip as much, but somebody else might trip even more. You have to, you know, kind of know the differences and then just go about, hey, how about we just go about with some respect for people? Like, that might work. Maybe. I don't know.
Who knows?
It's a wild concept.
It's wild. Yeah, it is wild. So I think this is like a good part for us to now kind of dive into what this is. And so MLS and MLSPA came out together on February 15th of this year. If you're listening to the future, it's 2024.
The future.
Right. But it pretty much came together and was just like, hey, like, this is what this act is. So these are some of the big bullet points from it. So under the joint anti-discrimination policy, any player involved in discriminatory acts will have the opportunity to speak confidentially with a trained facilitator. The facilitator will play a formal role in evaluating the situation and offering a proposed restorative plan when appropriate. And then restorative plans may include multiple sessions between the alleged offender and restorative practice facilitator to understand the harm caused and potentially provide the alleged offender an opportunity to make amends for those harmed by his conduct, in addition to education and personalized counseling. So I think with all that like being said, like, those two bullet points are key, because it's pretty much just laying like the foundation of how this is going to work. You know, if a player is found of a discriminatory act, he can speak to a trained facilitator, you know, without that being known public. But there are restorative plans in place, like multiple sessions. So you have the opportunity to learn. It's not kind of just like one hit wonders or one, you know, you're gonna one class fits all, like CPR training, and be like, all right, now you can go save a life. Mm. You know, things like that. Your thoughts on it?
I respect the platform that they're giving players. Cause I mean, I compare it to like, if you're being harassed basically, and you don't necessarily want to, you don't feel comfortable just, you know, going to your manager and just be like, hey, this person's fucking with me and all that stuff. Like, you need to have an avenue to where, you know, it's largely anonymous, and you know, you know that you have your space, your safe space to go about, like, this is what happened, this is how it made me feel, and, you know, I'd like to see it be addressed and everything. And, you know, obviously you're talking about in a space like men's soccer, where it for as much as people want to knock it here, it's not that much different from any other men's sport here, where it's like you have a level of machismo, basically, where it's like, you know, like, this stuff shouldn't affect me, this stuff shouldn't bother me, but you know, sometimes this shit does, and when it does, like, you should still be allowed a space to where you can air out your grievances, and hopefully the people above you, your club, the league, management, take the accusation seriously and go through a proper investigation. You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, believe and investigate, you know,
yeah.
And hopefully you'll get the truth from that investigation to where if something did happen, we could address it properly.
Yeah, no, for real. I think that's a good point. And the other thing I like about this policy, and we're not going to list all the policies. We'll make sure to link it. If you want to read it, we'll link it at the bottom of the podcast info. So you can go there and read it. Definitely, like, make sure you go read this, because this is like important, and I don't think a lot of fans are aware about this, that this is now in play. But this is,
we're looking at kits,
right? We were looking at almost $200 kits, which is, that's a whole different podcast for a whole different day.
We're climbing back soon, I promise you.
So this part to me really stood out. The commissioner retains the authority to issue discipline if it is determined that a violation has occurred. A player who accepts responsibility for his mistake and agrees to engage in a restorative plan will face less severe discipline than if he denies committing the act and is found, based on all evidence, to have been untruthful or misleading. And this to me is like really important, clear, because it's like, if you take ownership of it, I'm not going to penalize you the same as if someone who is purposely lying, you know? On one hand, it can be looked at as a good thing. I think the bad thing about it is that, you know, it gives you the ability to take responsibility for what you've done. Yeah, you might have said it in the heat in the moment. Like, for instance, who's the Philadelphia Union fullback? His name is escaping me. I want to say Kay Wagner. I don't know.
Kay Wagner?
But, yes. Is that him?
I think so.
Is it him?
So, okay. I think so.
All right. So I remember, like, during the playoffs, there was a racist incident that occurred, but it wasn't really, like, cleaned up. Like, it was kind of just like, he did it, but we really don't have a policy in place.
Right.
And I feel like with this, there's now, like, a policy in place. So say if Kai admits to it, right? Like, hey, I did it. Mm-hmm. Said it in the heat of the moment. He wouldn't be penalized the same as if he's like, no, I didn't say it. He's making it up. He's lying. And then we pull the audio footage, word of mouth, talking to the players, and things of that nature. And then it comes about like, no, like, you lied. Like, we have all this proof to show that you're not telling the truth. I think that is key. And I think also about, you know, the statement about, like, public statements, about not just doing it for the sake of doing it, but we're putting a plan in place of, like, making sure these are, one, accurate, but also that they are, you know, they have meaning and they have purpose behind them when you do it.
Right. See. I think the key phrase that I saw when I was reading the release a few days ago was restorative plan. And basically it's like, how are you going to pay your restitution for your racism? And I think that the important thing is two things. One, obviously, you want to give somebody an opportunity to make amends if they're actually owning up to it.
Yeah.
Two, I think the most important part is that if you actually do go that far and make that type of step with it, then you have to actually follow through with it, because don't just give a lot of lip service and say that, I'm gonna do better, I'm gonna act right, and then don't do shit. And like, you had, like, if this is your plan, I need to, like, it needs to be stated, hey, this is what we intend to do to correct this situation. And I think that for the people who deny the situation, like, I feel like from the league perspective, they need to lay the hammer on those people, because again, like, if you're giving somebody an opportunity to say, hey, you're damn near getting get out of jail free card, I feel like if you're on the opposite side of that, where it's like, no, it wasn't me, I didn't say anything, and it was him, and like, if you go that far with it, then the league finds out that, yeah, it was you, you did say X, Y, and Z, and you still try to double down on that, then, yeah, like, you got to, like, they have to look at, I would say at least 5. I could see as much as 10, just to really send a message. I feel like this is something that's been happening way too often, and I feel like if you actually want to be proactive as far as stomping this shit out, then you really had to get serious about dishing out punishments to where it's like, I don't want to miss 10 games. That's like damn near a third of the season. So it's like, if, like, you might want to think twice about how you speak to people, otherwise you're going to end up missing a good chunk of your season, and you might mess up your team's chances for making the playoffs, you know, MLS Cup and all that stuff, stupid ass Leagues Cup, all that shit. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, like, also an important part of New England Revolution goalkeeper Earl Edwards Jr., he sits on the board of both the MLSPA and the Black Players for Change. And he said, like, most of the meetings in preseason that aren't eagerly anticipated by players given the grind of training camp, which is fine. Like, I understand. Like, I'm working and I have to sit in meetings. I totally get that. But they said that the response from the cultural awareness training was a lot different. Like, a lot of people left the meetings, like, they really enjoyed it. Like, they really felt like they learned something from it. And I think that's important and key. Like, they're not just doing this just for the sake of doing this. They're doing this with the intent of making sure that you learn, but it's also, like, in a way of, like, engaging and not berating you or beating you down over the head with a stick. You know, it's kind of just, like, you know, we all come from different cultures. We know that sometimes certain cultures are, we all come with our own biases, our own, you know, ways how we look at things.
Yeah.
And it's important that we learn how to navigate and move within those spaces and be respectful of each other. Because I don't want to disrespect you just because if I say something to you, like for instance, like down here in the South, if I say boy to you, from me to you, they can come across a totally different thing. Like, we know we're joking and whatnot. But if I hear from somebody up north or from out west, boy, you know, and depending on the color of their skin, it's going to be taken in a different context. You know, so just making sure that we know, like, how to navigate that space. It's just not, it's not one size fits all. I know a lot of people can look at this and be like, oh, this is just how you negotiate. I mean, not negotiate, but navigate and talk to Black people. Like, no. White people, Germans, you know, Japanese players, Vietnamese players, you know, is how about how you navigate and move with all of them? Because if I make a Hitler joke to a German person, they're going to be very offended by that. Yeah. Or if I make a joke about Pearl Harbor to a Japanese player, they're going to be very offended by that. So I think this training is important because it teaches you how to be aware of what you're saying. And there's a very famous quote about how when you're becoming a man, it's not about what you do, it's about how you're adapting to learning. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's about how you are in services that you learn and you adapt and you become better. Right? It's great that you can play soccer. It's great that you have a whip of a left foot. But that only lasts so long. You need to know how to navigate the spaces that you're going to be in to be successful. It's about what you say and how you say it.
Absolutely. And I think the thing to keep in mind is to kind of rewind real quick is that incident with Kai Wagner, it happened to Bobby Wood of the, I think it's played for the Revolution at the time. He's not Black. He's Hawaiian. Asian descent and everything. And I think that with that, people have to keep in mind of a couple of things is that while this might start with, you know, awareness towards Black people, this, like, there's a lot of directions where this can go to where you want to make sure that you are aware of what might be offensive towards any race, towards any ethnicity. So you could talk about Jews, you could talk about Africans specifically, you could talk about Asians, you could talk about Hispanics and Latinos, you could talk about a whole plethora of this. The diversity goes, you know, all the way down the line. And I feel as though this is an important first step towards making the league accountable and for these type of instances when they come. Because like we said earlier, as of last year, there wasn't really a defined process towards, you know, towards racist incidents. Like, they had to treat it like almost like it was attack, like a slap tackle. Like, it's more than that. And I think that this will really is a necessary step towards you know, addressing all sensibilities, you know, whether it's again race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality identity, gender identity, any of that stuff, to where, because like even like what stuff that happened last year with Bruce Arena in the Revolution, like.
Did we ever find out what actually happened?
No. Well, it never became public, but did he actually get reinstated? I feel like he actually...
I think he did get reinstated. I think there was a rumor of him getting a DC United job, but DC was like, No.
but this is the kind of stuff that where this type of policy would honestly be the first step towards addressing. Because again, it's not like it just happens to us. So I think that's very important to keep in context. And I feel like if you have that awareness towards everybody, it only makes you that much more aware when those incidents do happen, and you know, the league will be better off for it.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think another thing that I found very cool about this this part of the training is that the facilitators aren't like they're not being outsourced. You know, they're former players. Like Luis Robles of New York Rebels is one of the facilitators as well. And they have Spanish, they have French, and they're making sure that they're covering all their bases and that the training is open. So it's not like even if you get in trouble, you still have the opportunity to learn, you know, if you want to just take the training, just to, you know, hey, like, how do I navigate the situation? It's open and there for you. So what's next, Greco? Like, obviously MLS is the first one to install it. Possibly, you know, hoping down the line USL, NWSL kind of puts the same kind of measures in place. And they also said, I need to back up real quick. MLS, PA, and the Black River Chain said that this is an ever-going, there's a board in place of which they're going to look at the policies, I think like every 6 months or so, to see like what's working, what's not. It's not like, hey, this is it, we're just going to let it be. No, right. They're going to be looking at it and constantly growing and changing and implementing new ideas. But yeah. I'm going to ask you this, like, oh, my fault. I'll let you go. No, I was just going to say, like, what is next? Like, what league might be next to do this in Europe or whatever?
Europe might be a
it might be a tall axe.
Yeah, I mean, I would think at the very least, if and when it does come, the Premier League and the Bundesliga seem like they usually err on the side of caution more times than not. So if and when that happened, I would see them doing it first. As far as over here, I think the NWSL needs to get on top of that sooner rather than later. I think they need policy towards this, and then obviously like this serves as at least a foundation, because like I said, like, I think that's very important that they said this, is that this is a very fluid policy to where like they have to at least know that hey. Like I just said, like it's not going to be limited just like how people act towards Black people. It's going to be pretty much how we deal with people, with everybody, essentially. And I think that you know, it'll be ever changing, it'll be ever evolving, and it's at least important that they have something on the books now to where we can go back to this and. Like I said, we can add to it as we need to. We can remove as we need to, but at the same time, it's always there to where, you know, we at least have something to where we can reference and actually go off of instead of just, you know, kind of winging it. Because I feel like in a lot of cases, especially here in American soccer, kind of like the incident that happened in USL a couple of years ago, it's like you had something ready. For I think it was was it with the Rowdies, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Like you had a 10-game suspension ready for him, but then you had to go back and walk that all the way back to where he didn't get suspended at all. And I think that this is like when you see that happen, that's why I pause that like this is necessary to where like you have at least something where it's like, hey, did you do X, Y, and Z? Were you on camera? Were you? Is there proof? And like, and if you're not, if you're actually going to take responsibility for it, there might be an opportunity where it's like instead of getting 10 games, you might get just 3, and you we're able to move on from it. But if you're one of these guys that try to just double down or triple down and be like, hey. Well, no way, it was me. I was out here doing something else. It couldn't possibly be me. I don't think that way. And then you realize, no, that was you, dog. That was you. And
you got you.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that, like, having that delineation as far as just like taking responsibility and trying to make amends towards correcting your behavior versus you just deny till you die, and we still find out you really was lying. Like, you got to hit the hammer down on those people who just try to act like they're all innocent and shit when they're not.
Yeah, honestly, for real. Yeah, man. Also, before we wrap up, I just want to go through the Zach of the board. So you got Drake Callender of Inter Miami, Earl Edwards Jr. of New England Revolution, Sean Johnson of Toronto FC, Jeremy Abobze of San Jose Earthquakes, Ray Gaddis of Philadelphia Union, Jaleel Inababa of Nashville Soccer Club, Bill Hamid, formerly of DC United, and CJ Sabal of Toronto FC. So that's the executive board for the Black Brand for Change and the guys that were kind of spearheading this effort. And, you know, honestly, it's easy to dunk on MLS. We all have done it. But I got to tip my hat to him, man, for opening this space and honestly giving this organization and giving MLS PA a seat at the table to make effective and powerful change. Because back in 2020, you know, we've all had those concerns of, are we doing this for the right reasons? Are people really invested in us? And MLS is like, hey, yeah, we're invested in making sure that we not only give the best part of the field with the most diverse fan base and players, but we want to make sure that the organizations we work with are hand in hand, step in step with that. So I took my hat off.
And don't forget, you know, the changes that they made to the diversity hiring policy a couple of years ago, back at the end of 2021. Like, they're at least trying. And I think that, you know, for as much as, you know, we give MLS shit for, this is more than what a lot of leagues are doing. And I think that that's something that, you know, it might not necessarily be like the full end goal solution, but at the same time, compared to a lot of these other soccer leagues, like right now they're batting 1,000, and that's just about it. And I think that's something that, like I said again, it's something that's definitely gonna be fluid. I think that something's gonna be evolving, you know, yearly, and we just hope that, you know, that the policy shows tangible execution and intangible results towards improving, you know, just how people deal with each other on the field. I mean, because it's easy to just get hot and bothered in the moment. And you're like, you know, because everybody's competitiveness comes out in spades when they're out there on the pitch. We totally get that. But at the same time, kind of like how we talk about, like with Italy, I'm like in Europe, it's like nobody ever just told you a yo mama joke and just say, hey, you have to go from angry to racism just in two seconds. Like, there's some middle ground there. Like, we can figure out.
Big middle ground there.
Yeah. So, like, learn a joke. Learn how to roast somebody without going straight through the race. Like, it's okay. So,
yeah,
like, this is good on MLS. It's definitely good.
Right. Randall, before we wrap up, my man, where can everyone get in contact with you or follow the Four of the Coaches on that? I'm sure is making his return.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, we're loading back up for 2024 seasons. MLS season starts next weekend, on the weekend of 24th. We should be – we got a couple of things to record this week. But, yeah, you should be hearing from us pretty soon as far as what our – first episode of 2024 is coming. Of course, as always, you can follow us on social FTC.
UTD.
There you go. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. FTC UTD Pod on TikTok. We promise we will be more active this year on TikTok. I promise y'all. You know, like I said, you know, we've been cooking. Don't worry. I know even like during Black History Month, like I said, we've been kind of low key. Trust me. we cooking big this year. So just we'll keep you on the loop.
Right. Gregor, are you still doing the racism countdown shirts?
Yes, we do have them. We do have them. Them at ftcutd.com/shop.
So, hey, listeners, it's Black History Month. It's February, or if you listen in the future, this is recorded during Black History Month. Go support Gregor. Go buy those shirts. They're great, great quality t-shirts. Trust me, I'm an offensive lineman myself, and they fit me great. So go support Gregor. Go buy those t-shirts. He is holding up one of his cultures that I wore yesterday. Great quality and all those stuff.
I'm not the best model, but yeah, here you go.
Hustle man.
Yeah. Got what you need, chief.
Listeners, I just want to say, without you, we couldn't do this show. We want to say thank you for taking time out of your day for listening to our show. Because without you, we couldn't do it. So with that being said, as always, make sure to like, share, subscribe, and go enjoy the rest of our interviews and history lessons on Can I Kick an FC. Make sure you go on over to FTC for the Culture United if you haven't already. Or tap in with them if you go down to an Atlanta United game. They'll show you a great time. And with that being said, I'm just starting to lose my voice now. We will holler at you guys later. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.